This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
The hot housing market could be cooling down.
Realtors say they're no longer getting 20 or 30 offers per house. Maybe they're getting 3 or 4 or 5 offers. So that still means there are a lot of buyers putting in offers and not getting a home, but it's not quite as much competition for each home that's out there.
And how the Federal Reserve is preparing to pull back on its pandemic stimulus programs. It's Wednesday, September 22nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Federal Reserve has signaled that it could begin reducing its $120 billion in monthly asset purchases in November, and that it expects to raise interest rates by the end of next year. Economic policy reporter Kate Davidson says the programs were created in the early months of the pandemic to cushion the economy.
They see that there's been a lot of progress made. And Chairman Powell basically said the test has all but been met. They're very close in his mind to being able to start reducing the bond purchases. They've been purchasing billions of dollars in bonds for months and months since March of 2020. And now the economy is clearly, as we all know, in a very different place. Yes, there's some concerns about the Delta variant and the outlook through the rest of the year. And we saw them scale back their projections for economic growth a little bit, but they're still very comfortable that the economy is in a good place, that it doesn't need quite as much support from the Federal Reserve right now.
The Fed's next meeting is scheduled for November 2nd and 3rd. U.S. stocks rose ahead of the Fed's update this afternoon and ended the day with gains. The Dow, S&P 500, and the NASDAQ each added about 1%. President Biden and his French counterpart Emmanuel Macron are vowing to patch up their alliance after a diplomatic spat over a U.S.-UK deal to supply Australia with nuclear-powered submarines. That deal canceled a previous contract France had with Australia to provide it with conventional subs. Last week, France called the U.S.-UK deal a stab in the back and recalled its ambassador to Washington for consultations. Today, Biden reaffirmed a commitment to discuss matters of strategic interest to France and European partners. France said its ambassador will be heading back to Washington next week. The tensions have complicated U.S. efforts to maintain unity among its allies and tackle global challenges, including the economic and military rise of China. An internal investigation at the Department of Health and Human Services has found medical insurers drew $9.2 billion in federal payments through controversial billing practices. Federal investigators found that more than half of that money, which came from the Medicare Advantage Risk Adjustment Program, went to just 20 companies. Wall Street Journal health insurance reporter Anna Wilde Matthews has more.
Insurers in the Medicare program are paid more if the people they enroll are sicker, the payment is higher. So they get paid more if they can document a lot of different conditions that their patients have. So what was of concern here is practices to get very long lists of diagnoses potentially for their members. The concern raised in the report is that these diagnoses that were tracked for this analysis were not found elsewhere in the records of service for these patients.
Both of these strategies are allowed under Medicare rules, but the findings raise concerns over the extent to which they have been utilized. Among the 20 companies flagged in the report, investigators found that one received about 40% of the questionable payments, even though it only enrolled about 22% of Medicare Advantage customers. The report didn't name the company, but analysts at BMO Capital Markets report that the enrollment share for these payments closely matched that of United Health Group during the period covered in the HHS report. UnitedHealth says their program is transparent and compliant with Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services rules. On Capitol Hill, bipartisan talks over legislation to overhaul policing tactics and accountability have ended without a deal. Top Democratic negotiator New Jersey Senator Cory Booker says he called off negotiations after his Republican counterpart Tim Scott of South Carolina didn't accept Democrats' final offer. Scott said Democrats had squandered an opportunity by ending talks. The lawmakers were unable to resolve differences over how police officers should be prosecuted and held liable. And there was no agreement on whether to change or eliminate illegal documents doctrine known as qualified immunity, which shields officers from lawsuits. The talks began earlier this year after nationwide protests over killings of Black Americans. Coming up, home sales fell in August for the first time in months. What does that say about the housing market?
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
For the past year, the housing market has been red hot. There have been bidding wars over property and fierce competition for limited stock. That's driven prices higher, making it an especially tough market for first-time buyers. But there are signs that the housing market may be cooling off. Existing home sales fell 2% in August to a seasonally adjusted rate of 5.88 million, according to the National Association of Realtors. So what does this mean for buyers and sellers? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal housing reporter Nicole Friedman. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Nicole, put this 2% decline in context for us. How significant of a drop is this?
So this is a pretty small drop, but there's definitely signs that the red-hot housing market is finally starting to slow down. So for the past year, it has been just a really competitive market for buyers. Not enough homes on the market, lots of demand, buyers competing really fiercely for homes, and prices have been going up rapidly. And it's still a competitive market, but it is slowing down. Some buyers are just getting tired. They're giving up. They're taking a break. Maybe their kids are back in school. They have other things going on. So we are seeing some buyers stepping back from the market. And also prices have risen so high that it's pricing some people out.
And are those really the major factors that are driving this decline right now? Are there any others that may be causing this?
The major factor does seem to be a slight slowdown in demand, but there is still definitely more demand than supply. So because of low interest rates, because people are still looking for more space, maybe to work from home, or they're willing to live a little further from their offices, there is definitely still strong demand out there, but it has ebbed a little bit that some buyers are pulling back. Prices are so high. And the supply is still really low. So there's expectations that there will be more houses on the market by the end of the year. More homeowners are willing to sell. Home builders are building. But for the time being, there are still fewer houses for sale than is usual for this time of year.
So you mentioned prices are still high. Where are we at in terms of the median home price right now?
So the median home price in the U.S. in August was $356,700. And so that is almost a 15% increase from a year ago, which is still pretty shocking price growth. But that's down from in July, it was an 18% increase. And so prices are still growing really quickly, and that is pricing people out of the market, but the price growth is slowing.
Is this hitting any particular regions harder than others?
Well, one of the things that has been so unusual about today's housing market is how widespread it is, that almost anywhere in the U.S. you have seen prices just skyrocketing, super competition among buyers, even in smaller towns, suburbs, places that aren't usually, you know, as prone to kind of boom and bust housing markets. So this has been a really widespread housing boom. And we are seeing, still it's competitive everywhere, but we are seeing also a pretty widespread slowdown. So there was some data from Zillow this month that price appreciation has been slowing down month to month, and that price appreciation in August was lower than it was in July in 43 out of the 50 biggest metro areas in the U.S. And so that is pretty widespread across the country, that prices are still growing, but they're growing less quickly.
So it wasn't too long ago we were talking about those bidding wars amid first-time buyers who are being priced out of the market. What are you hearing right now from potential buyers and also from realtors?
So it's still competitive, but it's getting a little bit easier that realtors say they're no longer getting 20 or 30 offers per house. Maybe they're getting 3 or 4 or 5 offers. So that still means there are a lot of buyers putting in offers and not getting a home, but it's not quite as much competition for each home that's out there. But definitely this is hitting first-time buyers the hardest because they are always the ones who, you know, they have the hardest time coming up with that money for the down payment. And so when prices go up, that's always going to hurt the first-time buyer. And this month in August, the latest data shows that the number of first-time buyers did fall to 29%, and that's the lowest level since 2019.
So is it too early to say whether this is just a temporary dip or whether it's the start of potentially a longer cool down? What are you hearing from observers?
So I think the expectation is that the frenzy that we saw in late 2020 and early 2021, that was really unusual. We saw so much activity, so much demand, and that now the market is kind of normalizing. But it is normalizing at a high level, that home sales are still higher than they were before the pandemic. And so this is definitely not a collapse. Nothing is kind of precipitously falling here. It's just kind of calming down a little bit. But still, the level of sales is still relatively high compared to pre-pandemic, but it's not that kind of extreme mania that we're seeing earlier in the year.
Wall Street Journal housing reporter Nicole Friedman. Nicole, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, speaking of the real estate market, here's a story you don't hear every day. In an old steel town south of Pittsburgh, Monessen, Pennsylvania, there are a lot of vacant houses. Nearly 10% of properties are up for grabs. Many are in disrepair, and they've accrued thousands of dollars in back taxes. So the mayor came up with a plan: give the homes away for free. The city will agree to wipe out the back taxes if the new owners commit to using 3 times that amount to fix up the property. Here's our banking reporter, Ben Eisen.
I mean, ultimately, what the people who live here and run the city want to do is to attract people back to the city. But that's sort of a far-off goal. I think in order to do that, there's a lot that needs to happen. The economy needs to be rebuilt, and a lot of people have to kind of decide that it's economically feasible to live there. But, you know, this housing program, as people in the city would describe it, seems to be kind of a starting place that, you know, if you can at least get some of these houses that have been abandoned back on the tax rolls, back to productive use, then you can kind of start to rebuild the economy a bit. And that's the hope, at least. Whether that plays out really remains to be seen.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.